Well, good evening, folks. Thanks, Paul, for leading. If you have your Bible with you, can I ask you please to turn with me to 2 Peter and chapter 3 as we bring this series that we've been going through on Sunday nights to a conclusion. 2 Peter chapter 3. If you're using the Red Church Bible, it's page number 1224. 1224. And just before I read it, let me remind you that this final chapter that Peter has written here to these churches that are scattered across modern day Turkey, he's writing here in this section to address a heretical teaching that is being spread by some false teachers who have come up within these churches. Specifically with regard to them disregarding or denying the return of Jesus Christ. So that is what Peter is dealing with as we come to this final section of the letter. So I'm just going to read from verse 10, 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10. And there Peter says, "But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation, just as our dear brother Paul also wrote to you with the wisdom that God gave him. He writes the same way in all his letters, speaking in them of these matters. His letters contain some things that are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort, as they do the other scriptures to their own destruction. Therefore, dear friends, since you have been forewarned, be on your guard, so that you may not be carried away by the error of the lawless and fall from your secure position. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen." Well then, I'm sure that many of you here this evening will have come across a sign similar to the one up on the screen above me. Perhaps you've been out driving in your car and you've come to a place that is often targeted by thieves and criminals. And when you get there, you're confronted with a sign a bit like that one up on the screen. And immediately when you see a sign like this, it puts you on a state of alert. You make sure that you haven't left anything valuable in your car. You take extra care to ensure that all the windows are closed and that all the doors are properly locked when you get out. You're maybe even looking round about you as you leave your car to see if there are any shifty-looking characters hanging around. You're checking your wallet, your phone, your keys are all securely put away in your pockets or your handbags, because this sign is warning you that this place isn't safe. There are thieves around. There are people who want to take things from you illegally. This sign, you see, it puts you in a state of alert. It encourages you to take extra care and to be careful. And tonight, as we conclude this series that we've been going through here on Sunday nights, the Apostle Peter announces here something to us that serves the very same purpose that this sign above my head does. As Peter brings things to a close in this letter, he wants these churches that he's writing to, and he wants our church here in Musselburgh this evening, to beware of the faith operating in the concluding verses of this letter. And the surprising thing about this is that the identity of this thief that Peter is speaking of. He's not speaking about the false teachers, as perhaps you would possibly imagine. He's not even referring to the devil, who he says in his first letter prowls around like a roaring lion looking for people to devour. The surprise here is the thief that Peter speaks of here is none other than Jesus Christ himself. Take a wee look at what Peter says in verse 10 of this chapter. There Peter says, "But the day of the Lord will come like a thief." What's Peter saying? He is saying that the day of Jesus coming, that is, the day when Jesus returns to judge the earth according to his deeds and to usher in the fullness of his kingdom for everyone to see, is going to come like a thief in the night. Jesus coming is going to catch many people by surprise. Many people are going to be caught off guard when Jesus comes. In these churches, you see, the false teachers and those who had been taken in with their heresies, they were scoffing at this notion that Peter is suggesting here, that such a day that Jesus Christ will return again and judge the earth according to its deeds. Where is this coming, they're saying, that Jesus promised of back in verse 4? And it's the exact same for us here today as well. Generally speaking, our society rejects the Bible's teaching that Jesus is coming again to judge the nations, as the Bible says that he is. People dismiss it as something belonging to the realm of fantasy, or perhaps the realm of science fiction, something that only a crazy religious fanatic would believe is ever going to happen. But do you know something even more surprising about all of this? There are people in churches who don't believe in the second coming of Jesus. There are people here, even in this church, who don't believe that Jesus is one day coming again. What do I mean when I say that? Well, I'll tell you what I mean. The moment that you or I compromise our faith by engaging in a pattern of behavior or a course of action that you or I know to be sinful, that we know the Bible forbids, and we do so thinking to ourselves that Jesus' coming is somehow delayed, or perhaps we are questioning in ourselves that he isn't coming at all, then we are standing right alongside these false teachers that the Apostle Peter condemns here in this letter. And we do this, we are standing right alongside them, and we are saying defiantly as they do in verse 4, where is this coming that Jesus promised? Where is he? Peter's writing, you see, to churches where Christians think that they can live as they please because Jesus' coming has been delayed. They think they can live as they please because they question that he is even coming at all. And Peter is saying here, in response to this wrong attitude, carry on like that, and you will soon find out that there are serious consequences for this kind of error. Jesus is coming again to judge the world according to his deeds and to usher in his kingdom so that all of us will see it one day. All of the Bible writers agree on that point. Peter is warning us, you see, Jesus coming is real. Jesus' coming is going to surprise many of you who aren't ready for it to happen. Jesus' coming will be like a thief in the night. Many are going to be caught off guard when he arrives. Don't you be. Don't I be. Many will be caught out. And so here in these concluding verses of this letter, he gives us four great truths that will keep you and keep me from being caught off guard when Jesus returns. And here then is truth number one for us in this passage. And you should take a note of these as they appear up on the screen, because this is possibly the most important section of this letter. Truth number one, Jesus' coming will be a terrifying event. It will be a terrifying event. We've already seen in our introduction that Jesus' coming is going to be surprising for many people. Lots of people will be caught off guard when he arrives. But now in verse 10, Peter goes on to tell us that it will be a terrifying event. That day, Peter is telling us here, will be a day of unrivaled cosmic destruction when it happens. And there are three extraordinary events that will occur when this happens. First of all, he tells us in verse 10 that the heavens will disappear with a roar. The heavens will disappear with a roar. Now, it's important to understand what Peter is getting at here when he says this. I'm sure that many of you who will know that when the word heaven is used in the Bible, it has a wide variety of meanings depending on the context. Sometimes it can refer to the sky above us, like it does at the beginning of Psalm 19, for example. Other times, it can refer to God's dwelling place, like it does in 2 Chronicles chapter 6. Here, though, in 2 Peter, the word heaven has another kind of meaning. Peter uses the word in this letter to speak about the unseen spiritual realm where angels and evil spirits are operating. And so what Peter is saying here is that when Jesus comes, he's going to judge and remold absolutely everything. Not just the things that we can see with our eyes, but the things that we cannot see as well. And so even the very heavens, the spiritual realm itself, the realm that is hidden from our human eyes, will disappear with a roar, the Apostle Peter says. The day of judgment for all things everywhere you see is for both the seen and the unseen